As the Shepherd Leads is the title of our thoughts today, As the Shepherd Leads. And if you would, take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 23, Isaiah 53, and if you've got a third hand, the book of John chapter 10. The Bible often compares the followers of the Lord as sheep. As we know, sheep need a great deal of care. They are easily led astray. They will eat the wrong things. And they are easy targets for hungry and attacking predators. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." John chapter 10, verse 11. And I'll be honest with you, I am so glad that our Lord was willing to die that I might have salvation. Amen. Would you please stand as we read from the book of Psalms 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this psalm that gives comfort. We thank you, Lord, for this psalm that indicates that you desire to be our shepherd, our guide. Lord, may we be willing to follow you. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Lord. You see there in verse 1, the word is in italics. It was added to help clarify the thought. The Lord my shepherd would be a title, but the Lord is my shepherd is a decision. It's a decision that each and every one of us has to make. It's the idea that we are going to allow him to be our guide. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, he leadeth me. All of us are being led somewhere. Isn't that what advertising's all about? They want you to buy their potato chip or their salad dressing or their gasoline, etc. But when it comes to a spiritual matter, we have to make that decision. So the question, is he your shepherd? The book of Isaiah, if you would, chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Beginning at verse 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This text teaches that all sins of all men of all time were laid upon Christ, our Savior, our substitute, our sin bearer. The fact of the matter is this, that God the Father would accept nothing less than the death of God himself for our salvation. He was not interested in our minor good works or our major good works. Isaiah says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That in the eyes of a holy, pure, just God, only one sacrifice would do. And that was God the Son. It is no wonder that he says in John 3, verse 36, that those that do not believe on the Son will have the wrath of God upon them. How important it is that we get the gospel out so that others will know of a way of salvation. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of John now, chapter 10. John chapter 10. May I say this to you, there are plenty of religions in the world. There's religions all around the world. But religion will not get us into heaven. It is only our faith in Jesus Christ. Let's begin reading at verse 1 of John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Jesus talking here is going to tell us that he is the door. And he says here that if they try to get into the sheepfold some other way than through the door, they are nothing more than a robber and a thief. Verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Point number one, Christ loves and suffered for the flock. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He was willing to die. He also said, I lay down my life for the sheep in verse 15. And again in verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. What love did it take that he was willing to die for sinful men and women, for sinful teenagers and children, that he was willing to bear the sins of all mankind? and that all could come to repentance. He did this because of his great love, which we do not understand yet, but I think the day will come when we stand before him, we'll understand what love is. And the song talks about us laying prostrate before him. And I wonder how long we will do that. 10 minutes? 10 days? How long will we lay before him, thanking him for what he did on our behalf? See, I think at that point in time, we will understand what hell is really all about. Number two, Christ knows his flock and calls them by name. Verse 3 says that he calleth his own sheep. He calls. Are we wanting to listen? The Lord does not deal with us as a mass, but he deals with us individually. Let me ask you a question. I was pondering this. How would you like to go to the dentist? Anybody like to go to the dentist? I don't see one hand. The only one I've ever seen raise their hand was Dan Jones's wife. Said that she liked to go. She liked that feeling after they cleaned her teeth. I don't like that gritty feeling. But moving along, how would you like to go to the dentist and the receptionist brings you in and there's six other people already in the room. And they're already in chairs. And she puts you in a chair and she says, he'll work with you in just a moment. And suddenly he comes over and he says, open your mouth. And he's working with one person with one hand and he's working now in your mouth with another hand. Would you like that? Have you ever been to a dentist where there were all these people in the room with you? No, he works with you as an individual. And the Lord cares for us. The Lord has a name for every sheep. And he calls each sheep by name. We sing the song, there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. You ever wonder what your new name will be? Some of you probably don't like your name. I haven't cared for the name Paul since I was in elementary school. You can probably imagine why. But the fact is that we'll have a new name. Number three, Christ leads his flock. The good shepherd calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. His desire is that we go out and let people know of Christ. This assurance assures us of his presence, his leading, and his care, for he cares for you. Sometimes, do you ever feel alone? Have you ever been in a group of people, maybe even a family reunion, and you have felt alone? Sometimes, we are alone. But the thing is, we know that Christ is with us at all times. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He leadeth us beside the still waters. But can I tell you this, that the waters that we go by sometimes are not still, but they're rushing by. Do you know how dangerous it is for a sheep to fall into a rushing river? Because of their coat, it is quickly saturated and they have no control of what is going on. And they need someone then to pull them out of this rushing water. His desire is to keep us safe. Not only does he lead his flock, number four, Christ feeds his flock. Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Recently, Don and I were down in Amish country in Indiana. And one thing you can say about farmland is it has some interesting aromas. But you see the horses and you see the cows and you see the sheep and you realize that God has created a lot of really cool things. But one thing we all need is we all need to eat. And Christ provides for his sheep. Three things are promised the sheep. Salvation. Liberty and food. We should be glad for the food that the Lord offers us. One of the benefits of going to church and reading the Bible is that we can be fed spiritually. Unfortunately, too many people in our world today are spiritually anemic. They're on a diet. They're not interested in what the Word of God has to say. And so they drift away. But how important it is that we feed regularly on the Word of God. And number five, not only does he feed his flock and lead his flock, he guards his flock. The good shepherd, as our Lord and Savior, is our gate, for he is the door. He is our guide directing us, and he is our guard. Can I tell you this? When you go to battle with Satan, do not do it in your own strength. Do not try to defeat the evil one by yourself. You need the Lord on your side. You need him to help and protect you. Note what our shepherd says in verses 27 through 29. Verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Protection. I'm glad for that spiritual protection. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we'll begin at verse 27. "And after these things, he," being Jesus, "went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, 'Follow me.'" Now in your mind's eye, do you see Jesus walking with a few of his disciples? And he sees Levi, a.k.a. Matthew. And he calls him. He simply says, "Follow me." Now, he is a publican. He is rich. He has a lot of money. He's got money probably sitting there on the desk or underneath the desk. And Jesus says, "Follow me." Notice verse 28. "And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them." The Lord wants us to follow him. In this text, we see him going into a tax collector's place of business. And there he sees Levi. And he says to him, "Follow me." Did he have to follow him? He didn't have to. Can I tell you this, that many are called, but few are chosen. Many are given the invitation to come, but many say no. Levi, though, followed. But number six, the shepherd wants us for four things. For four things. First, the Lord wants us as a star in his crown. He wants us to be saved, thus becoming one of his jewels. Isn't it good that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Isn't it good that you know that upon death you will spend eternity with Jesus Christ? Isn't it good to know he wants you? You ever been standing in a fruit market or at the grocery store and you're looking at the bananas? And you're trying to decide the one you want. Or you're looking at the apples and you're saying, "Okay, I want these apples." You know, you're looking and you choose certain things. You go to where the bread is and there's all these different choices. And then you make your choice. You go to the meat department and you make a choice. Isn't it good that we have the opportunity to choose to follow Jesus Christ? That we know about him? Do you realize how many people in our world know nothing about Jesus Christ? And that's sad. He wants our name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's a great place to have your name written down. This is the purpose for which he came into the world. He came to die that he could save souls. The greatest joy comes when a soul is saved. In Luke chapter 15, verse 7, it says, "Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." I think it'd be great if a soul were saved even today at the Covenant Baptist Church. I think it'd be great to know that how many souls are being saved through the missionaries that our church supports today. I think it'd be great if we knew how many people come to know the Lord as Savior. Number two, Jesus wants us to bring others to him. To bring others. Sheep beget sheep. That's what they do. They have sheep. We are to be testimonies for the Lord, using words if necessary. In other words, our life should be such that we bring honor and glory to the Lord. W.H. Ford writes, "The greatest joy on earth comes to a Christian when he is used to win someone to Christ." Unquote. Third, the Lord wants you to help build his church. That's his desire. He died for the church. He loves the church. The church is our society's greatest asset. The church is a great blessing to the individual and their family. We owe our church our loyalty and our love to sacrifice. When you go to a pastor's meeting and preachers are preaching to preachers, we find that they often challenge us to continue to preach the word and to teach our people that there needs to be a willingness to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. And that the body of believers should be loyal to their church and they should love the church and they should love the ministry of their church. His desire is that we help build his church. And then fourth, the Lord wants us as a living witness of his grace. Let me ask you this question. What do we deserve before we accept Christ as our Savior? We deserve hell, don't we? We deserve eternity separated from our Creator God. It's what we deserve. But because of Jesus Christ's great unspeakable gift, we can have eternal life where we can spend eternity with him. But as with any gift, you must be willing to accept it. And then once you accept it, you must be willing to share it. Isn't that interesting? He gives you a gift that then you can share. A number of years ago, I gave my dad a chocolate bar. It was for a birthday. My dad had a sweet tooth. You that knew him know that he had a sweet tooth. And he looked at the candy bar and he looked at us and he says, "None of you really want any of this, do you?" He knew the polite thing to do was to offer it to those of us that were there. But he really didn't want you to say, "Yes, I'd like a part of that." And pretty soon all his gifts were there except the chocolate bar, which he took and hid. You know, the fact of the matter, we're not supposed to hide the gift that the Lord gives us. We are to share it. We are to be living witnesses of his grace. My wife told me this the other day. She says, "There's no greater testimony that can be given a believer than this. I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you." What a testimony. What a thought. Do people see Jesus in you? Are our lives such that we are a testimony for our Lord? As we read last Sunday from Revelation 22, verse 12, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. Let others see Jesus in you. Shall we stand together? Our song of invitation this morning is 375, Just As I Am. We need to come to him and offer ourselves to him and saying, Lord, you are the shepherd. Direct and lead. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, may the Spirit move, may hearts be touched, and Lord, we ask that your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.